Happy Mother's Day once again. Thank you, Stan, for your devotion there. That was right on time, I think. It was a good one. How many of y'all have a mother that prayed for you every day? Yeah, if you know it. If she prayed for you, you'd probably know it. And if you don't know if she did or not, I hope she did. Because the power of prayer is crucial in the life of every human being. And I don't know if you have a godly mother in your life or have had a godly mother in your life and she knew how to talk to God, you had it going on at your house. That's just the way I see that. And not everybody gets that privilege, and not everybody gets to be blessed that way because of one thing or another. But I'm grateful for the ones who prayed for y'all, and I'm grateful for you mothers who do pray for your children. Even if they're adults, don't never stop praying for them, right? Because that's the best thing you can do. Once they get out of the house and they're on their own, it's in the Lord's hands, isn't it? So we keep praying for our children. I'm thankful for all the mothers in the room. I'm thankful for all the mothers around the world. And I just pray that God would bless you this day and in the coming days. We're going to talk about prayer for a while. And we're going to talk about a few things. Maybe we've talked about them before. Maybe we haven't. The next 4 weeks, I want to focus on this idea that when we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, then we will live as Jesus commanded us to live. So everything we talk about for the next 4 weeks, just kind of keep that in your mind, and I'll help you because I'll put it on the screen like it is right now. And that way you won't forget what we're talking about, and you can kind of connect in that way. Tell your friends and their neighbors, your neighbors about it, and see if they might want to come and join you and learn together with us. You know, it's a conversation that you can have with people that's casual and say, talk about prayer. Do you ever talk to God? What's that like in your life? Or you can tell people what it's like for you to talk to God. And some point in a conversation, you might have a door open to invite them to come and learn with us about that. Just a little thought. We're going to be in John chapter 15 this morning. And I don't know about you, but I've always talked to God since I can remember. I've always talked to God. Even before I ever got saved, I would talk to God. We were brought up to know that God was existed and that God is real. So I would talk to him. I didn't know what I was doing. I just would talk. I would just talk as if he existed. But I never, ever, ever expected him to communicate back until I got saved. Until I started understanding the gospel. And I started understanding the scriptures and what the scripture taught us about being Christian folks. It never even dawned on me that you could have this kind of relationship with God. A relationship to where you could talk to him and he'll talk to you. And he'll tell you some things and you'll try to tell him some things and you'll grow from that and you'll learn some things and you just start to get this intimate relationship going with our Holy Father. Because that's what he wants, right? So if we don't embrace this privilege called prayer, we're missing the boat, y'all. We're missing what it's all about. We're missing really what Jesus died for us to be able to take advantage of. And it's going to be almost impossible, if not impossible, to be who Jesus died for us to be if we don't have this prayer life. Have this relationship with God. In the early 20th century, there was a Welsh coal miner his name was Evan Roberts. And he became the unexpected spark behind the 1904 Welsh revival. We've talked about revival in the last couple weeks and how God started a revival at the cross and his resurrection, and it's been going on ever since. Well, every now and then there's a flash, right, in communities where a lot of people get saved and the Lord moves a lot of people toward him, and it's just a great moment. Well, this guy, he wasn't a famous preacher. He didn't have any title in any church. He wasn't what we call, maybe call important, right? He was an ordinary young man with an extraordinary habit. He prayed constantly. That's what he did. He constantly prayed. And for years, Robert prayed that God would bring revival to his nation. And he would often be found crying out to God late at night, pleading for his fellow Welshmen to turn back to Christ. Repentance. Turn back to Christ, which would insinuate that they would have known him at one point or known of him. So in 1904, God answered in a great way these prayers. Churches were packed. Thousands came to Christ. Bars closed down because no one wanted to drink. Police officers literally had no work to do because no one wanted to commit crimes in this time. They formed choirs and sang at revival meetings. Right? It all began because this one ordinary man stayed connected to the true source of power when it comes to working for the kingdom of God. The prayer. Talking to God. It's the most powerful tool we have in our tool bag as believers. Not just for things that we want, not just for things that we need, not just for things that are on our church prayer list, but for doing the work that God calls us to do. Making disciples. Loving people. Loving God. It's not possible to do in the way that God intends for us to do it without prayer, without a healthy prayer life. So we should learn. We should constantly be learning what that looks like and what God intends for us to do. So today we're going to talk about the vine, how Jesus taught that he is the vine. We're going to talk about abiding in him. We're going to talk about staying connected to him. So as we think about how to pray the way Jesus taught us so that we can live the way he commanded us, let's read chapter 15, verse 1 through 11 together. It's not going to be on the board. You have to open up your Bibles. Chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says this right here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Continuing in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I wonder when the last time any of y'all read that. Maybe recently y'all read it in a devotion, or you just, those of y'all that read your Bible all day, every day, you probably come across it recently. Most of us know about it, right? We've studied it in the past. We've heard it being taught. And we like what it says for the most part, because it talks about Jesus offering his love to us and us being having the opportunity to live in that love. Even though we skip over the part where it says, if you don't want to do this, you'll be burned up. Right? We have this ability to skim over things that we don't like to look at. What really Jesus is trying to point out here, and we're going to break it down some, is prayer's not just something we do, y'all. We don't just say a prayer and go on about our day. It's not like we cast some kind of blessing over whatever it is we're praying over and then we move on. That's not what it is. That's not what prayer is. Prayer is part of who we are. You see, it's part of what lives in us, of who lives in us. It's our connection to life. That's the connection. That's the umbilical cord, if you will. That's where everything that we need comes from. Our connection to Jesus. So before we focus on anything else, like how do we pray and the power of prayer, which we'll get to later down the road, we're gonna talk about why we pray and understand the why of prayer. So it's to give you the hint, it's to abide in Christ and to bear fruit and to experience His joy, according to what we just read. That's why. I mean, when we surrendered our life to Christ, said, I want to be saved because I'm a sinner and I've convicted, I'm cut to the heart, what do I do? We confess Christ and repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. That's stepping into this abiding in Christ. That's being grafted into the vine, right? Because in sin, we're disconnected, we're cut off. We cannot be connected with holiness because of our sin. And Jesus is the vine where we can be grafted in and once again receive this life that's offered on the cross. Eternal life. By the way, that begins when you get saved. We're not waiting to leave this world and then receive this glorious life that Jesus offers. Once you're saved, you begin living that life here in this world. Isn't that amazing? It's time for some amens to come out. So let's talk about the first thing. We're going to break this down if we can. He says in the first four verses, we're going to do the first four verses. He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so it may bear more fruit. There's some good news in there. That's like really good news there. Because there's hope that we can be one who bears fruit. There's hope that we can be one who is cared for. And we can actually grow. Even though it seems like it's focusing on those who don't bear fruit are taken away. That's an intention. I call that an attention getter. That's there to get your attention about taking this serious, you see. So then he says in verse 3 and 4, he says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In other words, you're clean. You're able to be clean because I shed my blood on the cross so that you could receive forgiveness. So we're not earning any forgiveness here. We're not earning any eternal life by bearing fruit. What he's saying is, because you live in me, you abide in me, that's why you bear fruit. You're saved because of what I did on the cross, but because you live in that by faith, you bear fruit. Right? Now, we've talked a long time, for years now, about going into the world and making disciples, helping people know Jesus, love people so that they might know that God is real and that Jesus loves them. We talk about it a lot, and we're going to keep talking about it because that's what the Bible tells us to talk about. But sometimes we all, from time to time, just get overwhelmed by the enormity of the work that's there. You want me to do what? You want me to go help somebody get saved? You want me to help somebody believe that Jesus is the Christ? You want me to preach the gospel? And we are eager to do it, but it seems like a heavy task. And it really is, isn't it? But everything that he's teaching us is telling us how to succeed at doing those things. You're going to bear fruit, y'all. What that means is people are going to know God because of you. Whether they get saved or not is God's business. But they're going to know God because of you, because not because of what you do or what you say or how good of a Christian you can be or how much Bible scripture you can quote. It's because you abide in Jesus. That's how come they're going to know that God is real. That's what bears fruit. People in the world, there's people in our community right now who really want to know if there's truth out there. They really want to know if God really does exist. And there's so many different people saying that they know the truth or that they know God, and they're just looking for that one thing that looks real to them. Right? I mean, we're all that way in every part of our life. We're not gonna give into something or go into anything or take part in anything if we think it's all fake, if we think it's not real, or if we think it's just a smokescreen. We're not going to do it, are we? Not if we can help it. We're not trying to be foolish people. And the people in the world today that are lost, they're not really foolish people. They're in the dark, and they need some light. And the only way to bring light into their world is to be a fruit bearer. And the only way to be a fruit bearer, according to Jesus in his own teaching, is to abide in him. He is the vine. And the only way for you to have fresh leaves and fresh fruit coming off of you as the branch is if you abide in him, because the life-giving, nurturing things that come from him is what flows through you if you abide in him. Isn't that great? Makes it easy, doesn't it? All y'all are sitting there going, oh, I'll just abide in him then. Let me just do that. It's not always that simple, is it? Because abiding in him takes a lot of sacrifice. Takes a lot of commitment. It means self has to be last, or at least second, right? It's always somebody else has to be first, because that's the way Jesus did it, isn't it? If we're gonna learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray, then we'll be able to live the way he commanded. Well, he only commanded us to live the way he did when he was here, when he was out in the world loving people, telling people the truth, having grace and mercy. And he says, go and do likewise. Well, okay. How do I do that? You have the golden key with his teaching. You abide in him. And only in him. You abide in him. As it says, a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. You cannot produce fruit, you personally, unless you abide in Christ. And Oak Grove Christian Church will not produce fruit if we don't abide in Christ. If I do my part and y'all do your part, then we're going to expect some fruit, aren't we? That's the way it is. If we believe in what we read in the Word of God. Imagine I have wrestled with, for the last couple of years, I got it laying over there, this device that stays in my pocket, goes everywhere I go. And I'm dependent on it for a lot of things. I use it for a lot of things that I don't really need to use it for, but it's more convenient. It's helpful in emergencies, but it's aggravating at the same time. You want to know why? Because I'm too available to the world. I mean, I got people calling me from Canada. I got people calling me from Alaska. I got people calling me from other parts of the world. I don't know them. They're calling you too. They're trying to sell you something or trying to get you to get a loan. They're trying to get you to, and they're just, it's a constant bombardment of people tapping me on the shoulder. Hey, let me tell you about this. And that's the way it is with a cell phone. So it's become a problem. However, when that cell phone battery gets low, we start to panic. Like, oh, my phone's about to die. Well, my phone, because it's old enough, the charger cord won't stay in it. I got to sit there and hold it the whole time because it's getting wore out and they're trying to make me buy another phone. You know I'm right. Without that power cord, that phone is useless. without being connected to some source of power, it's useless. You and I, as believers, saved by the blood of Christ, if we're not connected to Jesus, if we don't abide in Him, we're useless to the kingdom of God. I know that's harsh. It sounds harsh because we don't want that to be applying to us. I don't want to be known as useless to the kingdom of God. But Jesus is saying, if you don't do this, this will be true about you. It's not because He hates anybody. He's just saying, it's in your court. It's your decision. What do you want to do? Do you want to live in me? Do you want what I died for? Or are you going to just try it on your own and see what happens? We need to see prayer as our only way to stay close to Jesus and to abide in Him. Here's in John 17, let me go over here. John 17, one of my most favorite parts of John, of the Gospel of John. We can read just a portion of our Lord's prayer, our Savior's prayer. In verse 20 and 21, well, let me get in front of that. He's saying, verse 15, he's like, I don't ask you to take them out of the world. He's talking about the believers, right? The disciples. He says, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. This is Jesus praying for disciples, the believers, us. That's all y'all. And He says this in verse 20, I do not ask on my behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's us right there. It extends into. And then verse 21 says that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. This is the prayer of our Savior. He went before the Father in prayer that we would live in chapter 15. Why? So that people would know Him. So that people would know that God is real and that Jesus is Lord and Savior and that God would be glorified. That's why. And if we're not living in this purpose, and all we're doing is going into prayer about our hurts and our worries and our concerns, which are very real, by the way, if we're never, ever, ever praying about what Jesus is teaching, then maybe we need to consider, are we really connected or not? Write this down. I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time. It was Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, and Psalm 80, verse 8 through, really the whole thing, but verse 8 through 19 specifically. You can read how those particular parts, there's some other ones too, but those particular parts of Scripture refer to the nation of Israel as the vineyard. And how the vineyard was not producing good fruit. And how the Lord had to deal with that. And then how the Lord fixed the problem. It's all the God. It's the gospel. You know it is. Read it. Go home and read it for yourself. And ask the Lord what to do with it. Look at this right here. We're going to get into point number two. John 15, verse 5 through 8. Look what it says. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they are gathered. They gather him and cast him into the fire, and they are burned. That's gospel. That's gospel message. Repent, believe that Jesus is the Christ, believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and He was resurrected from the dead. Believe that, because if you don't, you're still in your sins and you're dead, and you'll be cast away from God for eternity. That's the same message. Apart from Jesus, He says, we can do nothing. We can't do anything apart from Jesus. There's a lot of people in the world. I don't believe any of y'all here today, because I know y'all are like this, but there are a lot of people in the world that say they're Christian folks, walking around with our Savior's name. And they're not living in Him. They're not abiding in Him. They're trying to do church by themselves. They never talk to God about the mission. They never talk to God about making disciples. They never talk to God about the vision for their ministry or what God wants them to do. They're constantly doing what they think is best for whatever it is they're trying to do. And he says, it's plain to me. He says, apart from me, capital M-E, you can do nothing. You know what that says to me? That says to me that I need to cling to my Savior and never, ever let go. Ever. It's a desperate situation. Because if He's the only hope, and He is, for me and for you, for one, to be saved, and two, to be obedient to His command to go and make disciples, then I had better get as close to Him as I can get. I better do exactly the way He leads me to do. And then I can expect the result that He's promising here. Prayer invites God and everything that comes with Him. The power, the peace, the strength, the courage. Prayer invites all of that to be poured into us as He lives in us. That's what baptism is about, y'all. It's about dying to yourself and coming out of the grave as a new person, alive in Christ. And everything that's in Him gets poured into us as we grow and serve and keep doing what Jesus calls us to do so that people can know God. How can we lose? How can we lose if we're here? How can we lose if we abide in Jesus the way He's calling us to do it? You know, the gardener waters and fertilizes and prunes plants, but if there's no sunlight, it doesn't matter. My wife and I, we've tried for 3 or 4 years to grow plants at our house, but it doesn't work. It does not work because we have too many trees. There's not enough sunlight. I'm okay with that. It's not the end of the world. It's not a life or death situation, but I would like to be successful in growing a cucumber. But I can't do it because our property does not. I can cut some trees down. If I cut some trees down, then. But I don't want cucumbers bad enough to spend that kind of money. You know? Point is without the sunlight, things don't grow. Without Jesus, it's not going to happen. Without the power that comes in abiding in Christ, it doesn't happen. Prayer, y'all, it transforms everything. We talk to God about everything. Talk to God about where we're going, what we're doing. We talk to God about every person that visits our church. We talk to God about everybody who's ever been and come and gone. We talk to God about what we're doing right now to make disciples. You remember the old years ago, everybody was walking around saying, what would Jesus do? Why were they doing that? Because of this right here. They want to know what Jesus would do so they can go try to do it. Or at least surrender to God as He helps them do it. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, y'all. With Jesus, that means we can do all things. Right? And don't misunderstand that. Not all things, like worldly all things. I mean, all things according to His will, according to His plan. Whatever He's leading us to do, whatever He calls us to do, we can do it. We can do it if we abide in Christ. Now, check this out. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. I want y'all to like make a note of verse 7 and 8, and maybe just go home, and just before you go to bed this evening, or whenever time you can find, and just read that over and over again, and ask the Lord to help you absorb everything that it means. Because there's a lot there. I mean, you won't even get past the first word before the Lord wrestles with you. If is a two-letter word that means it's all up to you. Every time it's said. If this happens, if you abide in me, then my words abide in you. Oh, excuse me, and my words abide in you, meaning the truth of God's word. It's a package deal. Because John 1:1 says what? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is where everybody gets excited. Don't y'all get excited about this part? Whatever you ask, whatever you wish, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Every time I read that, or every time I read in Scripture where it says those words, I flash back to being a child and it's Christmas time and I'm old enough to have a catalog, like a Sears catalog, and we start circling stuff and giving it to our parents. I'm not old, but I'm old enough to know how that was. And we would wear that catalog out. And then we only hurt ourselves because we circled everything in it and get disappointed because we didn't get it all. God is saying that if you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. That's what the Bible is telling you. And you should get excited about that. Why? Because if you abide in Him, if we abide in Christ, our desires become His desires and His desires become ours. We grow in Christ. Our spiritual growth moves us away from our worldly desires, that's repentance, into our godly desires, which is whatever God wants for me, whatever God wants for my neighbor, whatever God wants for him, that's what I want. And it's a genuine desire, y'all. It's a genuine, and we should, as we're growing, we should feel the battle that goes on in our hearts as our minds are being transformed and our hearts are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And if we're getting more and more like Jesus, then our desires are more and more His. So why would He not give us what our desires are if our desires are His? Is it our desire that people would know Jesus? Yeah. Is it our desire that people in this community would get saved? Yeah. Is it our desire that this church would be used by God to be a blessing to anyone and everyone around us? Yeah. And are those all not God's desires? Of course. So why would He not do that? Why would He not answer that prayer and make it so? I think He's already doing that. That's what I believe. I think sometimes, and I'm just going to confess right here, sometimes I miss what God's doing because I'm focused on some of my desires. The way I want things to go or the way I think things should look or be. And God's already doing something else. And He's just saying, you know what? If you would just get in line with what I'm doing, you would have a lot more peace in your life. You'd have a lot more strength. You wouldn't be so tired of all the time. Yeah. It's like trying to push a car out of the mud and the guy that's in the driver's seat won't put it in neutral. And you're just sitting there pushing and pushing. And it's not going anywhere. If we don't get in line with the Lord's will, then how can it be? But that's what this is about. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart because it glorifies Him. This is Job right there. Satan comes up to God and says, you only give him everything because he only worships you because you give him everything. And God's like, okay, let's see. And Job continued to worship God. He never turned his back on God. He got mad, but he didn't give up on the Lord. But it was true. Job was blessed because he honored God. You see?
Read the end, please.
We'll get there. He says, my God, my Father is glorified by this, by you be abiding in Him. Right? Not by you getting everything you want, but by you and me abiding in Him. That's what glorifies Him. And the whole world witnesses how God lavishes His blessings on us because of that. That's what glorifies God. That you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Ooh, that said to prove something. Jesus saying there's going to be proof that you're a disciple of Christ. There's going to be evidence. Proof. Now, listen. I get that. That makes me nervous because I'm not a person that likes to take tests. I don't want to have to go and write papers anymore for college. That's what papers in college were. It's like, here, write this paper and prove to me that you know what we taught. And I learned early on that I don't have to agree with what they're teaching. I just have to write down what they want me to write down so they know I was paying attention to them. And then I get my credit. Right? That's how college, and you learn by doing that. But there's proof. There's evidence. How is the vine dresser going to know where pruning needs to be if there's no proof? All right, let's move this along. We're almost done. Verse 9 through 10 says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Again, if we pray the way Jesus taught us to pray, we will live the way he commanded us to live. How do we keep the commandments? Because you and I know well that we can't do it. If you understand the gospel, you understand we cannot keep God's commands. None of us, not one of us, not one person besides Jesus has ever done that. So what's this about? How are we going to keep? Well, we're abiding in Christ. We live in Christ. That's why he said you can't do anything without living in me. You can't make it. You don't have it. That's why we need Jesus, y'all. That's why we should get overjoyed about this amazing, amazing gift of love that God has shared with us. That we don't deserve. We can go before God and pray in such a way because we're covered in the blood of Christ. God can't even look upon us without being covered in the blood of Christ. If we're in our sin. I get excited about these kind of things because it just reignites my passion. It's like, oh, I got access to the Father through the blood of Christ, so I can go do what he's called me to do, which is what I want to do, which is help people know Jesus. Which is help people feel the love of Christ. That's all I want to do. I think that's all what you guys want to do. I mean, we cook some barbecue on the way, but you know, that's what I want to do. I want to bear fruit in my life. I want you to bear fruit. I want Oak Grove to bear fruit. I think that's what God wants. So we're gonna just as God has loved Jesus, he's also loved us so that we can love him back. That's what John chapter 17 prayer was about. Jesus said to the Father, let them live in me like I am in you. Let them be one with me like I am with you. So that we all can be one. That's what Jesus died for. That's what it's all about. Now, look at this last verse. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that, here. So when you say so that, here's the reason, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Sometimes I wonder how many days have gone by and we did not experience the joy that Jesus is talking about. Maybe not every day, but maybe there's life happens and there's things that go on in the world and there's stress and there's anxiety and there's the enemy trying to get involved with all of that. And we surrender this joy that Jesus is teaching us about. Right? And it's like, how does that even happen if we're believers? If we abide in him, then how do we ever get to that place where we are surrendering this? Well, the prodigal son, just because he left home doesn't mean it wasn't his home. He just wasn't home. He left and he stayed gone until he decided to repent, and then he came back home. He always lived in the Father's house. He just wasn't home. And when he wasn't home, he figured out, there's no joy in this pig slop. Maybe I need to go back where I know there's joy. Maybe I'll just get the leftover joy, because I don't deserve all of it like I used to have, you see. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, look, I've spoken to you so that you, right, so my joy may be known in you. And it'll be made full. That's what God wants. That's what Jesus died for. That's the power of prayer. The connection to Jesus is the key to all of this. God wants you to feel his love. He wants you to feel his joy every day. Now, it's not just, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, praise the Lord. That's not it. That's not the end of it. That's the very beginning. That's the threshold. He wants you to walk into that and live in that. That's what abide means, to live in it. That's who I am. That's what I'm doing. This is where we are. And everything the world throws at me is going to have to deal with the fact that this is where I abide, where I live. And then praise the Lord, because then he starts using the witness. Then there's fruit starts showing up. And it's good fruit. It's the fruit that God produced. So you know it's good. All right, I'm going to finish it right now. Let's go back to verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this. God is glorified by this fact right here. God is glorified. He's glorified when we produce fruit, when we bear fruit. And we know that we can't bear fruit without Jesus. We're created for a relationship with him. We were created to be one with the Father this way. Do you ever imagine Adam and Eve, what it was like for them in the beginning? You know, just walking around, naming all the animals, eating whatever there was to eat. I can't even imagine if it was anything decent. I mean, I would have been a vegetarian if everything was perfect, right? Probably tastes pretty good. When they sinned, God had to remove them from that. The whole point of Jesus is to get us all back to that. The whole point of Jesus is to get us back into his presence, his holiness, his joy, his peace, his strength, his courage. And on, limitless, right? What on earth is pulling us away from that? Literally, what on earth is pulling us away from this connection? If anything, maybe you're on fire, maybe you're connected with the Lord and things are great, but I know it don't last. If you're a regular person like I am, I think I am, there are days and times when I wake up from my whatever and I'm just like, how'd I get over here? I'm supposed to be where with Jesus. Sometimes it's not so big a deal and sometimes it's a big deal. How'd my phone get unplugged? I'm almost dead. My battery's almost dead. How'd that happen? You get too far away from the power. You get too far away from what God intended us to have. Prayer, y'all. This is why we pray. We pray because it helps us get to where we produce fruit, and it's what glorifies God. That's why we pray about anything. Everything. Anything we talk to God about has to do with everything Jesus just taught us. Connected to the power. None of your family members are going to get healed of any of their sicknesses unless you're connected to the power when you're talking to him. Maybe they will. Somebody else prays for them, but I'm saying your prayers are powerful when we're connected. That's why James teaches, prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You ever think about that? I'm almost going to shut it down, I promise. I wonder if every time we talk to God, we just take up intentionally sit down and say, I'm going to talk to God about today. Does any of this register? Does any of this say, to yourself, I need to make sure I'm right with the Lord before I say another word. I need to realize who I'm approaching. I need to realize where I am with Jesus and get all of that where God wants it to be, so that when I say, bless all the people in this church, and when I say, heal those who are sick on our prayer list, or when I say, can you help me with my neighbors that don't know you, I want God to be able to respond to that in such a way that whatever I ask, he'll do. And there's no excuse, is there? There's no excuse. We have everything we need to be as connected to Jesus as he intends us to be. It's the if, isn't it? It's always the if. If. So I would say, this is what I try to remember to do when I talk to God. Help me get this if right. Help me get it right. God hears everything. And here's what's amazing. It's amazing to me. Every time I'm in the middle of prayer sometimes, and I just it just hits me like a big tidal wave that God already knows what I'm talking about. He already knew what I was going to say. He already knew how I felt about it. He already knew why I'm mad about something. He already knew why I'm excited about something. He already knows. Especially those times when you have to come and repent and confess. And he's like, I thought you'd never get here, because I've been waiting for you to receive this forgiveness. Isn't it great? There's power in that, y'all. And people in the world need that. There's people in the world, they don't know the Lord. They're not saved. They're not connected. You and I are the way they can get connected to that. It's like a big power strip. Help them plug in. Help them know Jesus. Let's sing a song together. And if you're not saved, now's the time to do it.